Welcome to Noon Edition. I'm Bob Zaltzberg from the Herald Times, along with Mary Catherine Carmichael. And today we're going to talk with people from this very radio station, WFIU, about HD radio technology. Joining us in the studio are three radio professionals as opposed to the two of us.
We have actual trained professionals in the studio.
We have WFIU station manager Christina Kuzmich, chief engineer John Shelton, and operations director Carrie Boyce. If you have questions or comments, please phone us at 855-0811 or 877-285-9348, or you can send your email to noon@indiana.edu. It's an honor to have all three of you on this side of the window. John Shelton, yeah. I always see him through the window as an engineer, and Christina and Carrie are always around, so thanks for coming on the air. I think it's a good topic.
Thanks for inviting us.
Sure.
Glad to bring you here. We're actually on time.
That's right. Well, let's start by talking about HD radio. And one thing I want to get out of the way first, I always thought it was high-definition radio for some reason. But, John, what's HD stand for?
Well, it's really just a trademark. It doesn't stand for
necessarily anything,
really. It's just the trademark. I think they kind of picked up on the idea that everybody was hearing about HD television or whatever, and that that would be a nice catchphrase to get everybody's attention. But it doesn't really stand for anything.
It does sound inviting, though. It sounds like a new generation of radio. So, Christina, can you sort of give us the thumbnail of what is HD radio? What's this new technology?
It's a technology that basically takes the radio that you now have and makes it into two radios. So whereas you had only WFIU with the programming that we have now, you have this other station that you can listen to if you don't like the programming that you're hearing on the current station. It's to a large extent the answer to many problems that we had with our listening audience. We had so many listeners who loved news and wanted news all day, and the others who wanted classical music all day. We were never able to justify our programming for both of these groups. So HD radio makes it possible for you to choose. If you want to listen to talk programming, it's available any time of the day, and likewise with classical music. It does have its limitations, and I'm sure we'll get into those as the program progresses. But on the whole, it's been a very good solution to a listener issue that we've had over the years.
So this is comparable then to the situation with WTIU that is already – I know on cable I can watch more than one WTIU station at a time. So this is basically just that for radio. Is that right?
To a large extent, yes. The issue with HD radio for us, for example, is that it's only available in the 103.7 signal area. So it's not available in our translator communities. People can also access it online. So if you're a computer listener, then you can also get HD2. So there are some limitations. In fact, more limitations than you would have with the television channel configuration.
And I think the number one question is, do I need something other than my regular radio to get both of these channels? So, Carrie?
Well, the short answer is yes. And when Christina mentioned the radio that you have, that's if the radio that you have has the HD symbol on it. So most HD radios, I think all of them, actually default to an analog signal. In other words, your regular radio. But if you want to listen to the second signal, our second signal, then you have to have an HD radio.
Okay. All right. And we'll get back to that in a minute. But we have a phone caller already, and he's on kind of a short time schedule. Let's go to the phone. Steve is first up. Steve?
Yeah, thank you. I was thrilled when I heard that FIU was going to have the two stations, and when my computer will actually allow it to stream. I've listened to it a couple of times and really like the option. But when I first heard about it, I went online, and one of the first websites I went to was somebody who was part of a group that argues that this will have the effect in the long run of pushing out small independent stations like, I'm guessing, WFHB, but this was something out of another state that was talking about this. And I'm wondering if you could speak to that. Will this unintentionally have the effect of pushing out smaller stations that can't afford this? Thank you.
All right. Christina, you want to take that?
You know, that's a very good question. Data shows us that with public radio, the more stations you have in the market, the larger your public radio audience becomes. So I don't think that it will necessarily drive traffic out from stations that are currently existing or are planning to start operations. I think what it will do in the long run is create a larger pool of public radio listeners. And as far as competition is concerned, it's not only the small stations that are having to deal with competition. Everyone's having to deal with competition. Because as you well know, in the print industry, you now no longer have just print. You have online. You have video. There are so many places where people can go to get their information that that competition almost to a large extent becomes moot. Mm-hmm. You're always in competition.
Mm-hmm. And I think to go to that listener's question, I mean, there's a sort of a macro issue, but then there's the specific here. He's talking about WFHB. But do you see WFHB as a competitor locally? You do. You sort of serve different audiences, don't you?
We serve different audiences, and we look at WFHB as a partner. We present one type of programming, one type of format. They present another type of format. They're addressing needs in the community that we would never be able to address in a 24-hour schedule, even in a 48-hour schedule. So we look at them more as a partner. And as I mentioned earlier, I think it's really true that the more radio or the more public radio stations you have in the community, the more people start listening because they hear about one radio station. They hear about another one. Before you know it, they're trying out both radio stations and both benefit.
Mm-hmm. All right. Our phone numbers again, 855-0811 or 877-285-9348, or you can send your email to noon@indiana.edu.
We have several emails that have come in anticipation of this program, so let's get started with those. This one begins, I love listening to WFIU, but with all the changes happening, I can only receive reliable signals through my computer at work. The old radio signal was questionable at best, but now the signal is so bad I can't receive it at all at home or in the car. I live in the North Vernon Jennings County area and drive I-65 to work in Edinburgh, Indiana. I read, I think, on WFIU website that buying an HD receiver will work only if you have good signal to begin with. Am I stuck having to download content on my iPod? What is up with the Valley of Death when I get within a mile or so of the Indiana 46 and I-65 interchange at Columbus? No radio or cell phone signal.
John, go ahead.
Sounds like a technical thing. Well, it sounds like you're right on the very edge of our reception area in the first place. That's about as far as we get, and headed up 65 that direction, it doesn't get you really much closer to our transmitter here in Bloomington. There's a lot of things that affect the reception of radio, a lot of it is terrain and the atmosphere itself. So as you get into dead valleys or pockets or areas where there's possibly other interference that might interfere with what you're trying to pick up, then all those will impact your reception area. And it is true that we do the HD digital signal doesn't reach quite as far as the analog. So if you're not getting a good analog signal now, then you're not going to be able to get the digital signal either. But there's a lot of areas that are affected by the limestone and the ground and the atmospheres too. I know this, especially in August, we have a lot of temperature inversion problems where we just the signal doesn't propagate as it normally would. And you start sometimes picking up distant stations that you normally would not pick up that actually interfere with what you're trying to pick up. And there's more and more stations going on the air all the time too, is either low powered or translators, as we're doing. So once those start filling in, I know recently we had a station that was added in Ellettsville, which is also then starting to interfere with a Columbus station that I like to listen to. So there's more there is out there, the more likelihood we're going to have the interference problems too.
You know, we talk about or I hear the word translator used frequently around here, but I don't know what that means. Could you explain that?
Yeah, a translator is what you might think of as a person that was a translator too. They're taking one thing that they're hearing and turning into something different. In a case with the translators, we're picking up the 103.7 signal, but then we're translating it into a different frequency. That's where you get all the frequencies that we rattle off every so often with our ID. So It's taking the exact same 103.7 signal and then putting it out on a different frequency at also at a much reduced power. We have a limit of about a 5-mile coverage area with translators as dictated by the FCC.
I see. So the Columbus listener, it might not be so simple as to switch from 103.7 to the Columbus frequency.
That might work.
It might work? Mm-hmm.
It might work. Uh-huh. It won't work for the HD2 signal, uh-huh. though. Okay. For various legal and technical reasons, we can't yet put a second signal into those communities.
Okay. We have a phone call. Let's go to Paul next. Paul?
Yeah. Hey, this is Paul Ash, and Nancy Kruger just contacted me recently to thank me for being a donor for 25 years.
Hey, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Well, I was surprised how the time does fly. I'm a big fan of public radio, and for years I was switching back and forth between FIU and WFYI until some Christian station down in Kentucky started to blast their signal, and I can't get, you know, it's at the same frequency as FYI. So now what you guys have done is replace that for me. I am looking at that's a Sun Conure in the background. Sorry about that. I am looking at a brand new Sanjin HDT1X, which I strongly recommend. It's great. I think they're all made in China, so there's that issue. You know, one can question the quality, but I don't question this one. It's very good. And I got it from Universal Radio. Out of Reynoldsburg, Ohio. So if anybody's wondering, you know, what's a unit that I can get that's, you know, home stereo quality, you can just plug this in. It, you know, it doesn't have speakers. It, you know, it's a component. I'm just delighted with it. And that's pretty much all I had to say. And keep up the good work.
All right, Paul. Thanks a lot for the call.
Along those same lines, we got an email that says, I've checked several stores in Bloomington and found only two that have HD radios. Target carries a Sony model for $180, and Best Buy has their Insignia brand for $155. Are HD radios obtainable at a lower price, and if so, where?
Well, generally speaking, they're often found online. And WFIU, not FIU exactly, but we have rebate forms. Mm-hmm. I think they're still good, but I'd have to go look. I'm sure they have an expiration date, but I think they're still good.
September 29.
September 29. So those are good for $50. So if you were to purchase a $50 or a $100 radio, then you could get that with the rebate form, which can also be found online, I think, for $50. Prices seem to be coming down gradually over time, which is often the case with new technology. Mm-hmm. And we've found that people are selling out. It's also the case, though, that a lot of people aren't really in the know in terms of walking to a store and saying, hey, do you have an HD radio? You're very likely to get a blank stare depending on who you're talking to. So if you have any questions about it, one thing you could simply do is give us a call and we can recommend some tabletop models or some rack units, as the gentleman who just called did.
Yeah, I think Radio Shack also is carrying them, and some of our listeners have listened to that. Is it the Acurion?
Radio Shack carries the Acurion.
That's a popular one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Also, everything that's available is also on hdradio.com, and you can get there, too, from our website.
From our
also.
Website, yeah.
Sure. And there are rack units, and there are also units that you can plug into your existing radio if you have like an auxiliary input into mm-hmm. it. So you can buy a unit that for relatively inexpensive that will plug into that.
Okay. Yeah, our website has a lot of information about radios and how you can purchase them, including online, which seems to be a popular way for people to go. So it's wfiu.org.
Okay. Just two other follow-ups to that now, just so I'm clear about it now. You buy an HD radio, and I think Carrie said it defaults to analog, right? So you can
if
still listen.
If there's an analog signal, to default to.
You can still listen to anything that you want to listen to, but it'll also allow you to listen to.
That's right. HD. And if a radio station is carrying a digital signal, then it will find that first.
Okay.
And so let's say you're listening to 103.7, our main channel, and you have an HD radio, you would be listening to a digital signal, which is typically a little bit cleaner than the analog signal. Mm-hmm. Only I think most audiophiles may or may not pick up on that. but it's a bit better. If it doesn't find the digital signal, it'll default to the analog signal, and you'll hear that. Now, here's where it gets a bit confusing, is that now we've added a second HD signal, but that is a digital signal only, so that if you happen to be driving outside of our range, it's pretty much all or nothing. You'll find it or not.
Okay.
It will simply go away and you'll hear nothing.
Okay. Is HD available in and for or for automobiles?
Yes.
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 That's why I do a lot of my listening. Others, you
know, yeah. Some more than others.
Yeah. There's at least 14 models right now that are out there for add-on radios after the factory aftermarket. That's mm-hmm. the word I'm mm-hmm. looking for. And as far as tuners and standalone tabletop radios, there's about 41 models available out there for that. And again, the DHCRadio.com lists all those. And most of them, you find your best buys, I would say, if you do look on the internet for those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Do you see this as something that will be offered as kind of standard equipment in automobiles in the future? Do you think this technology is headed that direction?
Yeah, I think so. I think Ford is coming out with factory radios starting next year, and several of them are coming out that way. A lot of the bigger brand names, the BMW, for instance, have them. To remember, there's about four or five different manufacturers that are making those. At that point, and then there's the add-ons also. In the past, they've had to actually been buy your car, take it to the dealer, and then they could upgrade the radio at the dealer's location. Mm-hmm. But this starting next year, they'll actually start seeing them come out of the factory line with the radios already in them. There's also the FCC is looking to possibility of requiring satellite radios like the Sirius XM merger of maybe requiring them to also include HD radios with those receivers too, or at least letting manufacturers be able to develop radios using the satellite radio and the HD technology all in one box. And we're still looking and waiting, I think, a lot of people for the portable radio, mm-hmm. which isn't quite there yet. The chipset that they're using now for the HD radios are pretty power hungry. They run hot. They run a lot of power. End of this year, maybe by Christmas, Sony's coming out with a little portable receiver that they say is about the size of a cigarette pack, I guess. But that's more of a prototype at this point. But they think by next year they'll actually Samsung is coming up with a new chip that will draw less power. And I think there will be at least one portable radio out on the market by Christmas, maybe. But then by next year, when the new chipset comes out, they may start getting into portable, and hopefully we'll get small enough to get into cell phones and other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing to listen to you talk, John, because who knows what's going to be happening a year from now in terms
that's
of
our
technology.
Problem. That's
that really
our
is our problem.
That's
yeah.
our dilemma. We're standing yeah. in a crossroads, you know, sort of a in the middle of the street with 15 different avenues that we could be traveling as far as technology mm-hmm. is concerned, and it's anyone's guess what is really going to take off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know how you feel. All right, our topic today is HD radio and HD radio technology. The voice that you were just listening to is Christina Kuzmich, WFIU station manager. Chief Engineer John Shelton is here and Operations Director Carrie Boyce. If you have questions or comments, please phone us at 855-0811 or 877-285-9348. And you can send your email to noon@indiana.edu.
We have a couple of questions that came in prior to the show that are more programming questions, but I think that's fair game today since we've got you in the studio. So here we go.
We're captive.
This one says, this is for the station manager. You used to carry Adventures in Good Music. What happened to that program?
Carl Haas passed away, and with him, the program also ended. Now, they did have I think a bank of programs that they were still distributing to stations for quite a few years, and by now it's probably down to very few. Mm-hmm. So at the time that Carl passed away, we went ahead and ended the program. So
okay.
Sorry to say, it's no longer available.
Okay. Here's another question that came in. It says, why is there so much coverage of the Republicans? There was almost no coverage of the Democrats.
I'm going to make an assumption here, and that is that the listener is probably thinking about our coverage of the conventions. And if that's the case, I can see where there would be a perception that perhaps there was more coverage of the Republicans than the Democrats, simply because the Republicans were in St. Paul and the Democrats were in Denver. There's a one-hour difference. For the Republicans, we started at 9 p.m., and for the Democrats, we started at 10. So there was a one-hour difference. I would imagine if that's what that listener is referring to, that there would be a perception that we carried more hours of Republicans than Democrats. But it was not our fault. It has to do with the time zones.
I understand from our producer you were also criticized for covering the Democrats more than the Republicans. So.
We have covered each one of them more than the other. So I guess we're kind of right in the middle.
I did. Hopefully. I thought on the news programs, on Morning Edition and All Things Considered, it seemed like there was just saturation coverage of the Democrats during their convention and saturation coverage of the Republicans during their convention. And just, you know, it's just the timing of the thing.
Yes, it was infuriating. There was so much saturation coverage of the conventions that you almost didn't know what else was going on in the world.
There are lots and lots of stories. All right, we have a phone caller, and it's Mike. Mike?
Hi there.
Hey.
Hey, I wanted to thank you guys for you're doing your HD show today, and I wanted to thank you for commenting that Radio Shack is carrying the HD radios, seeing as how we've provided WFIU themselves with quite a few of them.
And yes, thank you.
Product placement.
But on the subject of the Republican and the Democratic National Conventions, I think you guys have been fair and unbiased on both sides. You guys have given us enough to digest along with our other inundation of information from the general media. I know that I watch Morning Joe in the morning just so that I can yell at the TV. but, you know, being a true independent, you know, I don't ever vote straight party line, but I do vote my heart and my mind. And, yes, I am a retired man from the military, but I believe that we need 4 years of change. We need to change everything that's going on right now in Washington. Get rid of all of the diehard, you know, politicians and put normal people back in place.
All right, Mike. Thanks. I appreciate the comments.
Yeah, we appreciate the comments.
Based on what I heard in your coverage of the Democrats and then the Republicans, everybody's talking about change, so we'll get change.
That's
one
right.
Way or
we've
another.
Got change on both sides.
Right. Well, we're almost at halftime, but I want to ask you one question that, Christina, you sent me. You were kind enough to send me some questions that you'd been getting, and there was one that I particularly liked, and I'm going to throw it at you right now. It says, Dear Christina, why is WFIU investing in a second channel when all statistics show that radio is a dying technology?
That was a very good question, because there's a kernel of truth in that, and that is that terrestrial radio is an old-fashioned technology. But the funny part is that most people are still listening to it. We're investing in all technologies. Remember I mentioned something about standing on the corner and having all these different avenues to go into. Since we don't know what technology is going to take off, be it internet radio, be it mobile radio, podcasting. We don't know where we're heading in terms of where the listener is going to be. So we're investing in all technologies. The majority of our listeners are still on radio. But we do know that younger listeners are moving towards different platforms. So we have to be on all platforms. And it seems then that we are sometimes investing in a technology that is a dead technology, but it's the technology that's being used right now. So we have to keep investing in it. You know, it's kind of like pulling a rug from under all your furniture. Unless you have another rug to go under, you've got to keep it going. Yeah. So that's why we're investing in radio and in new technologies as well.
All right. It's time to take a short break. We're talking about HD radio technology today with WFIU station manager Christina Kuzmich, chief engineer John Shelton, and operations director Carrie Boyce. You're listening to Noon Edition. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Noon Edition on member-supported WFIU. Production support comes from Closets 2, providing organized and expanded closet and storage space for home office and garage, using a variety of systems with no major renovations. Closets 2 owned and operated in Bloomington, 332-2233. And from South Dunn Street Project, represented by Brian Lappin Real Estate, classic bungalow-inspired architecture in the Bryan Park neighborhood of Bloomington, www.southdunnstreet.info. If you're a person on the go, you can take WFIU programs with you. We're podcasting. Podcasting is a convenient and easy way to download audio files directly to your computer. Listen anytime from your computer, iPod, or portable player. You can download podcasts of full-length programs like Noon Edition, Ask the Mayor, and Harmonia, or short features like Kinsey Confidential, the Ether Game musical mini-quiz, and movie, play, and opera reviews. You can find out how with a visit to our website at wfiu.org.
Welcome back to Noon Edition. I'm Bob Zaltzberg from the Herald Times, along with Mary Catherine Carmichael. Today we're talking about HD radio technology. WFIU station manager Christina Kuzmich is here with us today, as are Chief Engineer John Shelton and Operations Director Carrie Boyce. If you have questions or comments, please phone us at 855-0811 or 877-285-9348 or send your email to noon@indiana.edu. We've got several different things we want to talk about this second half. And the first thing, I want to turn to Carrie and talk about, you know, how this is a major change. This is a major operational switch from what you've been doing. So how did you go about it? How long has this been in the works?
Oh, gosh, John, 3 years?
Yeah, we're going back kind of in history, I guess. It was back in the spring of 05 is when we actually went on the air with our first digital, but the FCC started actually approving it back in 2002. Mm-hmm. So it's been going for a while. As there also was around – I guess it was around 1992 when they started talking about having some kind of a radio digital service. And what developed at that time was a text-only system that is still in use right now, and a lot of stations are starting to switch to it now that they have the means to actually put artist and title and show titles out there. But it never did really catch on back in 92. But they were saying, like television, the only way it was able to get on with digital and analog was they had to use a whole separate channel for it. They couldn't do that, and there wasn't spectrum available in radio to be able to double everybody's spectrum there. So they came up with the idea of this in-band on-channel, or as it's called, IBOC. We're on the same channel, same frequency that we're using now, the 103.7, but we just take that digital signal and straddle the analog with kind of saddlebags on both sides, and that's where all the digital carriers are all on each side. So that's where it all started. Uh-huh. And at that time, there's only one – you could only simulcast basically what you had on your analog signal. And then it was NPR's initiative that they decided to try this thing in 93 called Tomorrow Radio. And they got the idea, well, why not – why use all the bits to carry just the same thing you're already carrying on analog, only a little cleaner maybe. Let's see if we can divide it up and use that data channel instead of sending out album cover pictures or other text information. Let's divide it up and see if we can put another audio channel on there. So they started doing some testing at that time as a kind of a joint venture between NPR, Harris, and Kenwood. And they started doing these tests, and it all seemed to work out okay. So then in 03, they somewhere around
the FCC
time,
regulations
they
were
actually
approved.
They actually approved it to be legally to do it without an experimental license.
Yeah, that's what we had to wait for, actually, because we had heard about this technology for years, and managers had been talking about the possibility of splitting the signal and taking care of this problem that everyone had as far as programming was concerned, you know, not enough of everything. And so I think it was, 2 years ago that we actually started putting the schedule together, that Carrie started experimenting with what kinds of programs we would be able to have on this second channel and see how it would work.
So, I suppose our basic approach, after really a lot of discussion, was to offer listeners – the final decision, I guess, was basically to offer listeners and members more choice in our programming. And to address the two main complaints that we get, that we have too much talk and not enough music, or that we have too much music and not enough talk. So with a 24-hour schedule, we were stuck. You know, we couldn't satisfy both groups, but now I think we've made major steps in that direction. So we took a kind of a flip-flop approach. So where there is news and information, you will hear music on the other channel. Generally speaking, it's a bit like a big jigsaw puzzle. You remember those little games where you move the numbers around with one blank square?
Yeah.
And getting it all to fit may take quite a while longer than you initially anticipate. Mm-hmm. A lot of that had to do with when programs are actually available in terms of rights, permissions, things like that. So if we were trying to fill a two-hour hole with music, maybe there was no particular music service that fit there easily. So we had to juggle a little bit. And there are still a couple of overlaps.
So listeners might have an opportunity then if they are, say, they want to hear music all day long, they could basically maybe toggle between mm-hmm. these two stations and get those needs fulfilled.
Yes. For example, I don't know if you remember back, I guess it was in the 70s when WFIU started taking Morning Edition, there were quite a few listeners who were very upset because they wanted their classical music. They didn't want to listen to all the ills and all the problems of the world when they were waking up. They wanted to hear classical music. So now they have this option that they can, you know, toggle to the other channel and there it is. So it's, you know, for many people, it's a very good programming option that they have. But one of Kerry's considerations when he was picking the programs was to make sure that we picked programs that we had a lot of requests for.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're seeing on the second channel in terms of talk programming is programs that are very popular nationally, like Diane Rehm, Talk of the Nation, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
I thought it might be Noon Edition back-to-back, but I guess not.
Actually, Mary Catherine, you'll be very happy to know that we have a repeat of Noon Edition. Now, we didn't do it 5 days in a row, but there is a repeat.
It's Fridays at 7 o'clock.
There you go.
On HD2. So
you're right opposite Terry Gross on HD1.
People can't call in. We should mention that.
Yeah.
We might be here.
We won't be here to answer. Sorry.
That's right. So can people listen to Terry Gross at this time on the other channel?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So on HD1, which is our channel, you know, our traditional channel, you hear Terry Gross. And on HD2, you can hear Mary Catherine and Bob Salzberg.
That's right. Pretty stiff competition. Yeah. I don't know if we're up
for
well,
Terry.
We knew
you
could do it.
And if you'd like more information, if people would like more information, they can call and get a complimentary program guide from the station. Or you can just check online at WFIU.org to get a look at our schedule to see what's available.
I have a caller waiting, but I do want to ask, did you consider just having one of the channels be all talk and the other channel be all music?
We started with that because we thought that would be so much easier for all of us. But when you really look at the whole environment of this project, you're talking about only people that can hear WFIU on 103.7.
Mm-hmm.
So if you changed 103.7 traditional HD1 to all talk or all music, you're disenfranchising thousands of listeners who would then have to go out and buy a new radio.
Mm-hmm.
This way we kept HD1 exactly the way it is, and then the option is on HD2. Now, it may be a convoluted way of programming, but that's the way that serves the listener the best.
Seems mm-hmm. fair.
Mm-hmm. It may be that in the future, if this really takes off, that we will begin a migration. But I think a majority of our listeners would actually have to have this in their homes and cars first.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, we have a phone call, and it's Bob. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, this relates to what you've just been talking about. if your second channel is going to be a primary talk channel, does this mean that that the old channel will carry less news? I've noticed that some of the news broadcasts, for example, after the hour, the 5-minute newscasts, sometimes you only have two minutes, and then you cut in with other things. So I just wondered if you're going to be cutting back on the news on the regular channel.
Bob, can you give us an example?
Well, just as I said, the 5-minute news after the hour and parts of the day. That's been cut back, and I was just wondering in the future if you're going to cut back more on the regular news in the evening at 5 o'clock and also in the morning. You seem to indicate just now that you will be cutting back in the morning, all things considered in the morning.
Oh, I think I see what you're getting at. Currently, there are no plans to change the main channel programming at all, that it's going to stay. So we're not transitioning to HD with two separate channels in the foreseeable future. What we're doing is adding additional programming. We do, in several hours, have a 5-minute newscast that we take syndicated from NPR. And we also have local newscasts, and those actually tend to vary just according to what our news department brings in. Not so much – it's not an intentional shortening at this point, no.
I see.
Did I answer your question?
I guess. I'll just have to wait and see.
Okay. Well, the short answer is I don't think you have anything to worry about yet.
Okay, because this is the radio is where I get most of my news, so I just was kind of concerned about
in the foreseeable future. So.
Yeah.
Bob, I have very good news for you, and that is that our news departments have merged, both radio and television. So we have additional staff. So I have a feeling you're going to be hearing so much news you won't know what to do with it.
Well.
So it's a good thing coming down the line.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks
for
the call.
Thanks a lot for the call. 855-0811. 877-285-9348, and you can send your email to noon@indiana.edu.
I always like to ask the money questions. So this sounds like kind of an expensive undertaking. How does that fit into your whole funding process? Where's the money coming from?
It is an expensive undertaking. It's around $150,000 so far. We were very careful to move into this because we wanted to make sure that we didn't jeopardize any of the funding that we have for our traditional HD1 channel. So we were very fortunate to have several people join us in the Future Fund, make contribution towards this project. We got a leading gift from Fred and Sandy Churchill. And about 20 other people joined them, and they were the ones who funded this entire channel. Now, in addition, we were able to leverage those dollars and receive federal funding. So the wonderful thing about HD2 is that it didn't cost us hardly anything. Now, there was a third partner in this, and that is the national networks. NPR, American Public Media, Public Radio International were all very generous in how they allow us to use the programs. Right now, they are charging us a pittance to use these programs on the second channel because they realize, of course, that there's no audience there or there's very little audience. Mm-hmm. Of course, as the audience grows, undoubtedly, they'll be knocking on our door for some fee increases. But right now, they are committed to ensuring that the public radio programs are available to as many people as possible. So it's in their interest also to help us out. And this is a question that people often ask me, are any funds from what we're contributing to WFIU being used for this channel? And at this point, we can say no. This was all funded by these wonderful individuals who contributed to the Future Fund as well as federal grants.
Great.
All right, we're going back to the phones, and Dennis. Dennis?
Well, hello. I just had a few comments that I wanted to make about the whole concept of HD radio. I think for your station, it's very exciting as far as being a listenability issue, because I live in New Palestine on the far east side of Indianapolis, and the only way I really hear your station clearly at all, I drive for a living, is when I'm heading towards Columbus, North Vernon, Jennings County, that whole area. And sometimes on the west side I can pick it up well. But in my own home, I can't do that. And when you're in rental property, the landlords don't want you banging around with nails and hammers on the roof or antennas. So it's really difficult to get it. So I have to confess I've never been compelled to subscribe. But the whole thing of HD radio I've been following since I first noticed it. And it's going to be really exciting for me as a listener and also for you guys, because then I'll subscribe and I can hear you more often.
A future fund.
Absolutely, target, yes. Absolutely. And the other thing is a personal thing to Christina. I've listened to the programs that you've hosted, and it's a compelling accent, and I'm intensely curious to know where it's from, and I will take that answer off the air, and good job on the HD radio, folks.
Thank you.
She doesn't think she has an accent.
I don't think I have one, absolutely.
That's right. It's Ukrainian.
It's Ukrainian, yes.
All right. So here's another question that was asked to you, Christina, and I think it's a very valid one, and some people might be wondering. Okay, so I'll buy this new radio. How do I know that next year I won't have to buy another piece of equipment to listen to WFIU?
That is a really valid question, and I see Kerry's jumping in to answer it, so I just might pass it on to him. But yes, radio is not going away. It is slowly going away, just as all things transition into something else. Mm-hmm. But it all depends on what kind of listener you are. If radio is where you're listening, radio is going to be here. It's not going to go away in the next year. If you listen through other technologies, then yeah, you may have to change your technology almost every year. But, you know, we have no control over that.
It's also a matter of, I think, trying to reach the listeners where they are. And also we have to think about where the listeners are going to be. And it may be that HD radio is a transitory technology. But again, we're not sure. It's a very powerful technology and to us looked like one of the best bets. It also had other advantages in that unlike some of our digital competitors, it does not require a subscription fee. And there are actually governmental negotiations now to require other subscription units to require an HD component so that people can listen for free if they want to. And also I should mention, which relates to the former caller's question, he was talking about subscriptions. And again, HD radio, first of all, does not require a subscription. Now, in Bloomington, we are still the only station in Bloomington with HD capability. In Indianapolis, where the gentleman lives, I think there are closer to 30 stations that carry it.
Okay. But, you know, he brings up an excellent point, and that is how difficult it is for all of us who are in the media today to predict where we are going to be tomorrow. It used to be back when I started in radio in 1984, our biggest challenge was how to switch from LPs to CDs. And that was a 4-year challenge, as I recall. Now our challenges are coming at us almost monthly. There's some new technology that we have to take a look at, learn, implement, and decide if we're going to invest in it. And then, what's worse, decide if that's going to be the technology right. where everyone's going to be listening.
Right, from Marconi to the 80s, there was almost no technology change, and then
absolutely.
It's exponentially accelerated since then.
Yeah, and this is a really broad sort of theoretical question, but how long do you think you'll call yourself a radio station?
You know, there are people on our staff who don't even call themselves radio broadcasters. They're media people. In fact, I think who is it? Our integrated media director. His sign off line is integrated media director.
It's not even WFIU integrated media or something. Like.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's a trend that we're seeing in many cases that people are becoming that they're disseminators of media and not necessarily radio. Mm. And, I mean, so much of what we're doing today is content-driven, and it's created for multiple platforms. Mm-hmm. We have several programs, for example, at WFIU that we create directly to podcast, and it bypasses radio because we realize that the audience for that particular program is not necessarily on radio. Hmm. And
Give us an example of that.
Kinsey Confidential is one. Mm-hmm. There is a new program that we're doing that's on Muslim culture that mm-hmm. is going to be podcast only. Kerry, what else do we have that's podcast only? Here's a wonderful one that people will associate with. Our Ether game that's been on WFIU mm-hmm. for, 30 years? There is a podcast version that is for podcast only. It never airs anywhere, mm-hmm. but you can download it.
We have Harmonia. We even have this program on podcast. But some of the programs are podcast only. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It goes back to Christina's discussion of transitioning from LPs to CDs. And John and I have this handy little terabyte server that's still empty. and which relates to somebody else's question about display information. Mm-hmm. So I get maybe two or three questions a week, why don't you display artist and title? And it's because it seems easy on the face of it because it's such an easy question to ask. But there are a number of technological questions to answer in between there and where we're going.
So it seems easy to you. It seems like magic to me.
Yeah, I know.
It is magic in a way, 20th century magic, 21st century magic, I suppose. Yeah. But that too is probably coming in the foreseeable future, I think.
855-0811, 877-285-9348, and noon at indiana.edu. We've got about 10 minutes left in the program. We're talking about HD radio technology and basically where this whole media technology is going.
How has subscription radio impacted your operation here, if at all? I just bought a new car recently, and it came with Sirius Radio, and I know Sirius and XM, if they haven't already, are talking about merging, and perhaps that will make that whole movement stronger. But any concerns related to subscription radio from your standpoint?
We don't have hard data. We know that in radio and in public radio, there is a little bit of corrosion in audience.
What does that mean?
In terms of where people moving out of public radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's continues to be strong, and particularly in the news programming. But people are migrating to other platforms, and one of those platforms undoubtedly is satellite radio. But the funny part is that even if they migrate to satellite radio, guess what's on satellite radio? NPR.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. We made sure that NPR was on satellite radio years ago when the technology first came out, because we realized that there would be a portion of audience that would be migrating there. So we're beginning to see a splintering in the audience, but it's very hard for us to be able to tell where they are going, which is why we need to be almost everywhere where we anticipate the listener to be eventually.
And if we get our way, and it looks like it's a good possibility, then satellite radio will again include an HD component. So if somebody happens to be driving through Bloomington listening to Sirius, then they would have WFIU as an option. So it's another question of being where the audience is.
Yeah. John, what do you see as is there a technology out there that we haven't even touched on yet that where you think radio might be going?
Well, there probably is. We just don't know about it yet. Things change so quickly. This has taken years to get to where we are now with the digital radio, and there's possibilities of adding more things to it. One option might be in the future, when everybody has a digital radio, that we may even eventually get rid of the analog broadcast altogether. At that point, then the digital bandwidth opens up even more, and then you could put in several more channels, even as many as probably seven broadcasts going on in a completely digital system. But there's no mandate like there is for television to switch things over. Mm-hmm. So it's a completely volunteer to go digital in the first place. There's a lot of stations that have chosen not to. A lot of them are commercial stations because they just don't have the money in the audience to go there. Only about 17% of the commercial stations have put HD on, where about 75% of the NPR stations have went digital. And a lot of that was because of funding that was available through the CPB and all to help get that thing going. But it could be pretty wide open. They've talked about TiVo-type radios where you could actually say, I just want to record Morning Edition at this time, but I don't want to hear it until I tell them on my drive, which is out of range for radio station I want to listen to. So you might be able to do that. As Carrie mentioned, the artist and title information is becoming available as a possibility now, too, that things are going more computers and music is more played back from databases and hard drives and computer playbacks instead of spinning CDs that you got to look at the jacket and the jewel case to find out what it is you're playing. A lot of this tagging information is going to, I think, get better and better all the time across platforms between the web and other places, too. And they're even also talking about iTunes tagging, too. So if you hear something on the radio that you've liked, it would actually give you a tag that you could go and then listen to or purchase that whatever it was that you didn't know what it was. So there's a lot of that other data type information that could be coming across in the future too.
We have a phone caller, so let's go to Alex. And Alex, we only have about 3 minutes.
Oh, short time. Yep. Greetings to Bob and Christina.
Hello.
I want to say that I like the balance of the current programming, so I don't have issues one way or the other. And you've been talking about the benefits of the new programming. And when I first started to hear about this, I wondered, how do you do this? Because obviously if there were a new frequency, that has to be run through the FCC and I don't know how many other bodies. So is someone willing to tackle the physics of how you split it or how that's achieved? It may be a boring question, but, you know, if you want to beg off, that's fine.
We're begging off to John.
All right. 2 minutes, John.
All right. Well, it's... that was one of the problems that they ran into initially was that there was – how do you do that and not use more channels? And what they did was they decided to put the digital carriers on each side of the main analog signal that's there now. On each side of it, they put about 70 kilohertz on each side and put 191 carriers in each one of those. So you've got like a total of 382 carriers that are all doing the digital thing. Well, they ride on the outside of the analog where the – normal analog modulation doesn't actually normally go out that far at all. So we're using a little bit of extra of the channeled bandwidth to get it out there. Did that answer enough of the question, or was there another?
You answered it for me. It's magic.
It's magic, right.
Yeah.
It's magic at my end.
I got the update with all the graphs and the math, and I tell you, it gives me a headache to look at.
it's these two guys that are actually doing the magic.
It's best to think of it as a big tent with two little tents on each side. And one tent broadcasts HD2, and we have the possibility of a third, but no time must immediately.
Yeah, it's kind of a multiplex thing where you just take the bits you got and divide them up in however you want to.
Okay. 30 seconds to go, Christina. Tell us a couple of programs that are on HD2 that we didn't have before.
Talk of the Nation is a very popular program that people love to listen to. Mm-hmm. We also have the Diane Rehm Show, which is a program many have asked for. Our staples, Car Talk and This American Life, have a repeat on HD2. And Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is also on HD2. But, you know, Bob, if we have a few seconds, I've got to say something here because this just must be said. If it wasn't for the fact that our listeners on HD1 and traditional radio have been so supportive of WFIU in the past 30 years, there is no way that we would have been able to venture into this, create the additional fund, and make this possible. So this is truly a listener effort.
Okay. Thank you, Christina Kuzmich. And thank you, John Shelton and Carrie Boyce, Mary Catherine Carmichael, Ariana Prothero, our producer, and engineer Mike Peshkesh. I'm Bob Zaltzberg. Thanks for listening.
Noon Edition is a production of WFIU and the Herald Times. A podcast of this and other WFIU programs is available at wfiu.org.